It's the Daily Talk Show, episode 833.
Happy hump day, Gronks. What's going on? Actually, I say what's happening, and then I say what's going on.
That's okay.
There we go.
Is that one of the first times you changed things up?
Oh, I mixed it up, mate. You know, just panicked. Just 833 eps in, just fell apart in the first 5 seconds, you know.
it doesn't get any easier in regards to remembering the show number. Like, I still, every single time, I'm panicking in the final few seconds. When those index cards arrive, I can just have the number there and I can look down.
God.
It's going to be the dream.
I actually don't. I'm not that fussed about your index cards anymore because I thought that the ones that you use and then want to throw away, can I take them? Because I'll use them as fire starters.
Oh,
I
yes,
could start definitely. Just having a, you know, just start putting them onto the fire. They might actually, they're coloured, aren't they?
No, I've got some white ones, but they'll be all my bad ideas.
Yeah.
I think they'll work really well.
Yeah, it just burns away your bad ideas. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll catch them. It'll be some kind of spiritual fucking onboarding of mm-hmm. your bullshit. one of the stories just around the fire stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I can't tell if my dad's full of shit or he just has all these good stories from work sites. But there was one. So there's the classic when you're working with like bamboo. So you're mm-hmm. removing bamboo from a garden. My dad's a landscape architect. I used to work for him. I was an apprentice. Conned him into employing me for 6 months. Then I pulled the pin. So thanks, Dad. Got me out of school though. But we were working on this property and bamboo fucking grows mm-hmm. like wildfire.
It's illegal in some places, isn't it? In suburbs?
Well, it depends on the type. Mm-hmm. There's a type that just is an absolute prick. And so this one house was infested. It was coming up underneath the house. Mm-hmm. Like it was shooting up with nowhere to go and just boom, stops. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Dad used to say to me, mate, be careful. You get a cut and get some of that bamboo in your finger, it will grow. I heard of a guy that blah, blah, blah. And so it tells me a story. The other story is around firewood. And so do you know what treated pine is?
Yep.
So treated pine's wood that's treated in chemicals mm-hmm. to make sure it's like, you know, lasts longer. I think it's like to make it, you know, it's
the nasal spray of wood.
No, it's like, anyway, it's fucking treated with chemicals to keep it harder. And yeah. Gronks use it on fires. Story of, a family out in the suburbs mm-hmm. that used treated pine from the building site next door to cook their barbecue. And a few people died from it.
Yeah, I do remember that.
Well, see, this is the thing. These are stories.
You haven't got any asbestos boards in your that you've got on the fire at the moment.
Absolutely not.
I wonder if that's a big. If you put asbestos into a fire, like cut it up and then lit it, whether you're all fucked, like whether that's just a guarantee.
Yeah, I mean, you got to inhale the smoke. I mean, you put it on. You don't even want to handle that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a weird thing. Asbestos. I don't know who's burning that. It's disgusting. Mm-hmm. Anyway,
if you're just getting random bits and bobs
yeah.
from a work site, so does that mean that you're being extra careful about what you're putting in?
Well, I made the phone call to Dad last night. I said, mm-hmm. Dad, is
an old television? the old TV.
I said, Bodie's old mattress. He pissed on it. Do you reckon I can burn this? Do you reckon it's all right? No, I called him and I said, is framing timber okay? He said, yeah, mate, it's pure pine, get it on. So it's all good. But because sometimes you're burning pine and it really smells mm-hmm. and I can't tell if it's like, am I breathing in some serious fumes or is this all right? And so, no, it's all good. Tim Jacket says framing pine. You usually can tell because it's got like a green tint
framing
to it.
Framing pine? What actually is framing pine?
Well, framing timber, you could probably just say framing timber, mm-hmm. is made of usually pine. And so, mm-hmm. the frame of your house or like the frame that I built the wall behind me on sure. and the frame at the studio is, it's just framing up houses. Mm-hmm. It, usually, you can buy just like, you know, lengths of wood for framing and it's pine. And mm-hmm. so, it's all good to burn. All good, boys.
Mate, it's funny you bring up the whole wood thing because I'm reading this.
Because I've got wood.
Yeah, because, mate, I have been hard as a rock all morning. I'm reading a book at the moment that's all about like the first, I don't know the title, I can't remember it, but it's like there's a whole chapter on yonks ago, I don't even know when it was, but they would do, like, scientists would create, like, they tried to create the perfect forest in Germany. And so, but what ended up happening was that it was purely so that they could, you know, grow the fucking, like, so they have the forest and they can cut it down and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
The thing is, they only planted just the shit that they needed. So they fucked off everything else. They put it all in rows. And it worked really well for one generation of these big trees. But then it all started to collapse on each other because they were saying you need all of the combination of the sort of ecosystem around it to protect it, to make so pests would get to it. I thought that was very interesting.
Well, this is humans coming in and fucking with shit. We've made a lot of mistakes, dude. Mm-hmm. Human race has made a lot of mistakes. Look at the introduction of cane toads. I'm pretty cane toad introduction in Australia. So, yeah, they were introduced. Cane toads were introduced in Australia in 1935. They were brought to Australia from Hawaii with the intention to control the cane beetle in sugarcane fields in northern Queensland. Only 102 cane toads were brought over to be bred, and 2,400 toads were released in 1935. There is a severe problem in this country with cane toads, and they've done more damage than they have good. And so that's the what else was there? The rabbit, I think, like the just the
I
rabbit.
I remember the golf club. I remember Churchill Park Golf Club. They'd put all this foam. It looked like hair mousse. And it was just all around. I'm like, what are they doing? And they'd be fucking like blinding.
Yeah.
I don't know that they were trying to make the rabbits blind or whether the rabbits were already fucked and they were trying to kill them. Whatever it was, I was like, I don't know how comfortable I feel about what's going on here.
So I remember that virus released to kill rabbits, and that was you'll know the name when I say it. Rabbits. Here we go. It was what was it? Rabbit homogenized disease. There was something released. I can't remember the name of it, but it did the job. Like I remember going as a kid. So last night we went.
Was it pink? I don't know. something like that, wasn't it?
The last night we went on a night drive with Bodie, and night drive before 8 p.m. before the curfew, and we went to sort of look for some rabbits. No, so we didn't. We went just for a drive. But I was telling Amy that when I was young, we would go driving looking for rabbits. Our night drives when we were on holidays would be going to find flocks of them.
Myxomatosis, I think, was the disease.
Myxomatosis?
Yeah, potentially.
So isn't that just what you've got? Myxomatosis? No, that's folliculitis. Yeah.
So sorry about that. I just wanted to close the loop.
Yeah. So I just remember. And then, you know, a couple of years later, couldn't find, like, there was one or two, like, compared to the flocks of them on the golf course near where we were. They ruined golf course.
Anyway, you're driving. And, sorry, I interrupted.
Yeah, last night. But we went for a drive. Anyway, this morning, went for a drive with Bodie. Again, there's a lot of driving as a parent. Yeah. To see a kangaroo. We had a competition. It was like, Bodie, if we see a kangaroo, we get to listen to my stuff. But if we don't see a kangaroo, you get to listen to your music.
Okay, great. How and far so, do you have to go out of Bulleen to find a kangaroo?
Mate, 5 minutes from my joint. No, not even. Closer to the city. Really? Like towards Ivanhoe.
And so you got to play your music?
Mate, I got to listen to what I wanted to listen to.
Oh, great. How many kangaroos?
We saw two. They were big fellas. But I just loved it. I'll put it up on our Insta story, the Daily Talk Show. But I just love, as I've got older, just fucking the thought of being able to just see a native animal, you know, near my house that's not too far from the city. Like, there's something about that. It's like, it feels like you're way out.
I remember as a kid with the kangaroos, we used to just have so many kangaroos on our lawn. And whenever we had international visitors over, you'd get a big fucking stick and go, okay, we're going to go find some big kangas for you. And they're fucking huge, but you would be acting like a top dog. Just the Aussie showing you around. But I was scared shitless sometimes. Like, they're big, like over 6 foot massive kangaroos. Yeah. And you would they would hiss at you and... especially if you sort of walked over, you know, sometimes there'd be, no joke, 15 kangaroos next door to our place.
They're one of the animals. I mean, the koala I don't trust. A kangaroo, right. I don't trust. Koala, like, you know, it's like nasty. If it's they're a bit like junkies. Mm-hmm. You don't know what you're going to get. Sometimes sure. they're really docile and just mm-hmm. relaxed. Next minute, they're fucking hissing at you and shitting on the ground. it's very similar to a junkie in Collingwood.
Mm-hmm. And that's very true.
And they got claws and they, you know, push their claws out. Mm-hmm. These things got to climb trees and they're always stoned. It's
so if you had bizarre. A native, if you had to have a pet and it was a native animal, which animal would you go?
What I mean, what else is native? Is a wombat native?
Yeah.
Wombats. I mean, yeah, kangaroos aren't cuddly. Like they're just, it's like, mm-hmm. it would be like going out with a bodybuilder. That's always, you know, prepping for a show that just like you'd cuddle it and it'd feel like a piece of rock. Yeah. It's like you want something a bit more like koalas. Yeah, I get it. They look cuddly, but don't trust them for the life of me. Wombats. I mean, I wouldn't mind a wombat because I feel like you can't even get close to a wombat unless they're really tame. Like a tame wombat would be sick.
Okay, I think, no?
Well, they run very fast. So, they can get up to, like, I reckon, let's have take some guesses here, wombat speed. I reckon, like, 30 kilometres an hour, wombat
no, I reckon
running speed.
I reckon, I'm going to say...
Oh, Jesus Christ.
What?
40 k's an hour.
Fuck. That's ridiculous.
I remember sure? 100%.
I wonder if there's any videos on YouTube of them running. We can
look after. Wombats fast or slow? Although they look pudgy and slow, wombats can run up to 25 miles per hour and maintain that speed for a minute and a half.
They're sprinters.
They're the Usain Bolt. Yeah. It's like they're overweight Usain Bolts.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, they can do shot put.
I've literally found a video on YouTube just wombat running.
Really?
Yeah, I reckon they get momentum. It's they're heavy set fellas.
Mm.
But anyway, when I was on camp as a kid, Chum Creek, we were in the forest and we heard one running behind us, and before we saw it, we could hear the like the thud on the ground. They're so heavy, and it ran past us, and we shat ourselves. It's fucked.
I mean, are they gonna hurt? I was determined to make this more of a positive episode, so I thought the animal thing was safe.
Well, wombat attacks if you want to go there. Wombat attacks tradie in Bathurst.
Yeah, it's
fine. Oh, there's a guy who has a wombat in his arms. That looks snuggly. Oh, man, if I could tame a wombat, imagine a big solid wombat just, you know, at your feet. You could almost use it as a poof, you know, just like feet up on it, just that's kicking back.
Pretty cruel.
No, but it's your mate. Yeah. You know, I use you for shit like.
No, when I was hearing about the forest stuff, about like designing the perfect forest, I was thinking about animals. And it's like it reminded me of. Remember at the start of the pandemic, what was the guy's name? Joe Tiger, Joe Exotic.
Oh,
Exotic. Yeah. What happened to Joe Exotic?
That feels
like
jail,
a long time
baby.
Ago, doesn't it?
That feels so long ago, but it's within.
Do you remember? It was a real it was a moment.
Yeah.
Anyway, I was thinking about all the tiger stuff. And I was thinking, it makes sense when you take things out of their normal situation and all of a sudden you take away prey and all like the need to have to try and find your food. Like those tigers would be fucked if you took them out and just like, okay, we've conserved them now, like go off and do it. But also you think about if they breed, won't they just be like lazy fucks? Or I wonder if they still, if you bred a domestic tiger, does that tiger that's born, is it like it's wild or through DNA, would that be passed down that it's not very good?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think it's like humans. We have things sort of ingrained in our DNA. I was listening to someone talk about, you know, the reaction that people have, like that feeling of being self-conscious. That is a reason, like that's been in our DNA, like where you are feeling like a sense of self and you're looking at somebody and you're feeling like they're looking back at you and you're feeling self-conscious about how you are being viewed by them. And like with our...
What was that? What were you listening to?
Sam Harris.
Uh-huh. What's the episode?
Like, Oh, I can't remember. I listened to so much of like little classes and mate, shit. So,
was there anything else to that?
No, it's just but this is the fascinating point of like most of our responses as humans, like the anxiety, all these things. Maybe they don't service in today like they needed to way back when, thousands of years ago.
Mm-hmm. You know, so you're trying mechanisms. To remember that stuff. This is why you need to build a second brain. Do you know about this?
All right, mate. Well, they tried to build a forest and fucked it. How can we build a second brain?
Well, sorry. No, I was. If you Google building a second brain, there's a whole there's a website. It's like buildingasecondbrain.com, and this dude has done a whole like he does courses ranging. It's like they're expensive. It's like $1,500 for the starter course, and then $5,000 for the primo one. But he gives 90% of all of the content around it away for free. So I've just been ingesting as much as possible. So the idea behind building a second brain, you know, Notion, Evernote, Rome, Drafts, all these things that we're being talking about, what they're designed for is it's like how do you capture things? So say, for instance, if you're listening to a podcast, if you simultaneously to listening to the podcast just took a few notes, so what were the key bits, who were the people talking, all of that sort of stuff, imagine how easy, like, and then you had some software where you could easily search. So for instance, with that Sam Harris example, you could type in Sam Harris DNA or whatever, and then you would have the notes there, and you could be like, oh yeah, there's this, like you'd be able to recall it all.
Yeah. Do you think that's creating the second brain, or that you're not relying on your first brain to store that information? Is that the idea?
Our first brain does a terrible job at it. And so that's the
it's the only brain really. But yeah.
But the thing, this is the first version of all the shit that like Elon Musk has been talking about with like fucking putting something in your head. Like Neuralink, that's it. Having a way of organizing things, like just think about that, because otherwise you read a book, and obviously there's a bunch of examples where you're just doing it for fun. But even if you're just reading some fiction or whatever, if you find like a line that really resonates with you, it'd be cool to like highlight it and then have it for later.
I mean, the people that haven't built a second brain just are using the term "they say" when they're referring to serious information. They say this, and then
isn't it cool? Imagine. So there's this whole thing around like knowledge workers. So, you know, people that are could be, you know, people like content creating, like the sort of stuff that we're doing in some ways is knowledge work. It's maybe just a way of saying that we don't fucking leave the house, don't do much.
I've never heard of this. Knowledge workers.
The definition of a knowledge worker.
Knowledge work or knowledge worker knowledge, definition?
Knowledge worker.
A person whose job involves handling or using information. Okay, there's a lot of... We're all knowledge workers. It's a great way of saying you've got a job.
Yeah. Well, no, so that's the whole like the future of work is in a lot of us being knowledge workers. Like we have all of this information. And so if you think about it, Instagram, fucking all these social networks, the problem is that there's so much of the information that isn't great. And so there's going to be so much power. If you can turn on some filters and increase the quality of the information you get, plus if we look at like Steal Like an Artist, like Austin Kleon or Everything's a Remix or these types of ideas, there's no new ideas. And so if there's no new ideas and it's just a mix and a match of all old ideas, then like that's what Ryan Holiday, who has done The Obstacle's the Way or Ego is the Enemy, Stillness is the Key, all of these books, they're based on philosophy that he's read and then he's just able to combine it and sort of connect it in different ways.
Yeah. Do you think the purpose of that sort of deep diving into building the second brain is for somebody who needs to who has an output for it, is writing something, so you reference authors. Mm-hmm. What's the use case for somebody that for the everyday gronk of building a second brain? What do you think it is? Like, where's the... So I get this sort of benefit of learning and sort of collating. Like, I think even in the process of trying to store information that you like, you would even learn more than what you would normally. But for the average Gronk, is it a dinner party where you can flex your second brain?
No, it's like, I think it's synthesizing. So I think it's like closing the loop. I have felt that just reading without underlining or doing any of that stuff, it sort of feels like you're halfway there. Like you haven't fully, I don't fully synthesize it until I've underlined it, read it again, given it a few days. And so I think like part of it is a, like this idea that you go to university and you do something for a certain period of time and then you go on and do a job, like that's long gone for most industries unless you're a doctor or things like that. But even then, you're still constantly learning. And so I feel like this is a cool way of learning. So, I mean, building a second brain, I feel like it is a it sounds very grandiose, but it's just about like how can you capture it? So, for instance, the story around the forest, like I want to get better at like so what I haven't implemented yet, I'm using a service called Readwise. Read and then WISE. And what it does is it takes all of your highlights from your Kindle. Also, like if you use Instapaper or if you use any of those like apps where you can, where you read your articles and you can highlight bits. And it puts it, for one, it gives you like a daily review. So it will say, here are some of the highlights that you've previously highlighted on all of your books. So you can retain in that way. But then you can export out Readwise highlights into Evernote, into Roam or Notion. So then you can have, depending on the different theme, say for instance, this tree thing, it's a cool, the forest thing, it's a cool story. But if I, like, I feel like I need to have a clearer way of communicating it. So it's like, okay, this is when it happened. This is like actually, and so that just requires that second. I only read that bit last night, but I see the power. And if I go back and actually just say, okay, when was this? What was the, like, and just connecting a few more dots, here are some of the key quotes. Could you imagine that being like super powerful?
I mean, if you didn't have a podcast, you'd be the most annoying friend ever. Just oh, here's fucking Mr. Bloody Know-It-All.
But it's not like, so if you take out, like, because I get it. So if you take out that element, being able to, it's like it's not so much. So if you even take out the bit where it's like just being able to regurgitate information, but it's like actually understanding it better. So you're not doing it so that you can just do those things. It's actually so you can connect dots. So for instance, say if you're writing a blog post and you want to write something on a specific thing. Like I was doing it the other day where I was thinking about, you know, we spoke with Zach Mander about doing the obvious and how we always have pushback on the obvious, but sometimes the obvious is what you need to do.
Yeah.
I was like looking at my highlights and I saw Impro, a book that I read, that specifically talks about this thing. And then I saw another bit that was in like, this is marketing. And so you can combine all of these things together to actually build a new hypothesis or a new idea based on five other ideas that you've consumed. But if you didn't have the second brain, it would be too hard to do that.
Yeah. I think there's also the interest level for a human like you is high for something like this. You know, it's like very cerebral. It's very like organizing everything and the interest level there. Some people don't want to fucking organize shit.
But do you ever panic like when you hear something or someone tells you something? Do you ever, like, if you needed to remember something or if you had a thought or an idea, where do you put it?
A thought or an idea?
So, for instance, someone says something really cool or it's like, man, you should watch this movie or do this thing or... oh, have you seen that? Or did you know this actor played this part in this thing? And you're like, oh, fuck, that's cool. I want to do something with that. What would you normally do?
Oh, I don't usually go there. It's like usually if it sticks, it sticks. Or, you know, it's like repetition. If you're hearing about something, which which you can build a case for why that's just fine, and then why storing everything and collating all information and sort of, you know, having it able to serve back up makes sense as well. I think mm-hmm. they're, but yeah, it's definitely like, I mean, these things aren't for everybody, but it's definitely for you. Like, it sounds, it makes a lot of sense. It takes a lot of effort. There's a lot of effort in building out that second brain, it sounds.
Well, it can just be easy, like, so the drafts thing, like, I've found that to be the easiest thing so far, which is just, like, one central place where if I'm listening to, so, for instance, when with One Trick Tony, I'm working on that with Tony and Mason, and so they'll send the audio to me, and I'm listening to the audio, and as I'm listening to the audio, I create my own show notes, and it's got no other purpose other than when we're in a meeting, a production meeting, or giving feedback or thoughts. Yeah. I have every single, like, if you listen to a podcast, how many times do you listen to a podcast and you say, that was great, there was heaps of interesting stuff there, some of it's entered my mind or like entered my psyche or whatever, but I don't actually remember the specific points.
Oh yeah, 100%.
And so what would it look like from an act, like from a listening perspective, if for every piece of content that you consumed that is sort of non-fiction or has where it's sort of informational in its style, where you're actually wanting to get something out of it, what would it look like to just have a simple notes where, like, because then you're connecting dots. You're like, oh, fuck. Oh, this is interesting. Mm. They brought this up previously, or there's like, it's a bit of a game, and I think it probably plays into that connecting the dots thing that I love.
100%. I think the baseline reading a book, there's your start, you know, underlining shit in a book is the second thing that will probably
So for a lot of people, I think that reading a book feels tedious or feels annoying or feels like it's not necessarily enjoyable. And for me, the bit that has changed that has just been the under, like, giving myself a focus. So if your job is to underline the best bits and you know that you could be using it later, you show up in a different way. Like, if you're just reading, like, you can be like, go two pages in, it's like, what the fuck have I just read? I've completely forgotten. Like, or this hasn't sunk in at all. But if at every page you are underlining as you go on the key bits, I feel that you're getting a higher quality experience, which...
Yeah, I think that what you're fundamentally saying is there's a high level of concentration. Most of our... Mm-hmm. Most of our concentration is not great. And it's the reading a book and going off in thought, but you're still reading. So you've still managed to get through a page, but you're thinking about fucking what you're doing for dinner.
But have you? And so this is that's the whole thing with it, is it's like, I think that there's...
No, you haven't. You've read the pages. You've read the words, but there's the task of... You don't read a book to do that. You read a book to consume the contents and the information. And so, yeah, that's why what I'm saying is the underlining is a tool to make sure your concentration is... So there's an action as well, you know, as well as the reading.
Well,
there's an action pulling your focus, and it's sort of resetting concentration every few seconds based on, great, I've got to do that action. But then some people just like to fucking... You know, read and not do anything other than... And the podcasting thing, driving, just listening. And so there's if you really want to learn, what you're saying is exactly spot on, right?
But so, maybe it's not even when you are reading or listening. Like, the first step for some people might just be after you get into, like, before you go from the car into work or wherever you've gone, just like writing the notes of the things that stood out to you.
Yeah. You could do a voice memo.
Yeah.
And then, like...
Well, that's what drafts... The sick thing with drafts is that there is a... in the widget, there's a microphone button and you press it and it transcribe. Like, it just...
Does it?
It's like a dictation tool. So, you can write a note. They've also got an Apple Watch app. And so, you say the thing. It goes in as a note and then you... it's pretty cool.
Mate, what does it cost a month?
$2.99, I think. $1.99. Yeah, it's. I mean, but there's also a free thing, but that's just the premium version. But I've just been so impressed in how Drafts syncs on every single like iOS, like so iPhone, iPad, Mac, and then also you can style it as well. So you can make it look exact. Like, so I used to use IA Writer, which is like a very minimal writing app. And now this, I've designed, I loved the organization of Drafts. And so now I changed all the settings to make Drafts look like IA Writer with the benefit of all the organizing.
Mate, there's three brains between us. That's it's the good odds of working with us, mate. You get three brains for the price of two.
No, well, I haven't built it yet. I'm still developing.
Are you still building it?
I went for a walk this morning.
Oh, nice. That's it's your first appearance?
I did that one walk that I posted on Instagram.
With Bree, you and Bree.
How long ago was that?
That nearly didn't happen too.
Yeah, so that walk was the last walk that I went on, and it was a 20-minute walk, and before that it had been 2 weeks or 10 days or something. I think it was 10 days. And so that walk was July 26. Oh, so it was 1 month. I haven't gone outside for a month.
Wow. That'd be the first time in your life, I reckon. Yeah. Like, other than from the time that you started going to kinder or something. Nah, I reckon you would have gone outside at 2 weeks old. Mm-hmm. Like, your mum would have taken you. Yeah. It's the first time in your life that you've stayed indoors for 4 weeks. It's pretty phenomenal. Did you even go down to get any Uber Eats? Or you didn't do that?
No.
You should have six brains by now with that time spent indoors.
It's weird. Yeah, it is weird though. But I enjoyed it. It was all right. I really worked it up. I wore sunglasses to start with. Like, I just couldn't be looking at people and dealing with all. So I fucking went out with sunnies.
And no one's looking at you, bro.
Just the fucking. Having a conversation, I didn't know. I worked it up pretty hard, and so I
did. Anyone rush over to you? Josh. Daily talk.
Is, I was waiting. Bree was getting coffee for us, and I was just trying to just standing away from the coffee shop, probably 50 meters away, just sort of moving my legs, like I was stretching, and I was just next to some bins, and then the garbos came to collect it, and so I had to sort of slowly sort of walk away from that, and then they did that, and then I walked back. And so one thing I was surprised with is
the junkie in the blue jumper.
That vibe. The thing that surprised me is something I've just realized today. I just assumed that there's one garbo that does the whole suburb, right? The whole council. When we were walking this morning, we saw four different garbage trucks.
Mm.
There's a lot of garbos. Did you know this?
It depends on the area. There's, some of the streets have different ones around here, different truck. It's actually garbage day here in Bulleen. Pumped about that. We took out our green bin. So it's fired up.
The other thing I was just going to mention is my fizzy water that I love, the Mount Franklin fizzy water, on sale with Woolworths today. So
how much?
You can get, let's have a look. It's normally $8. Breezer? Oh, fuck, Mount Franklin. I'm just looking up sparkling cans.
Good price? I just wanted it to be. It's a bargain?
It's a bargain. So we were going to get it yesterday. And then Bree was like, nah, just wait. It's on sale now. So
right now.
It's half price. Mount Franklin lightly sparking. They're big cans. So 375 mils.
Big Berthas. Yeah.
This flavor is lime. I'd recommend the lime and the raspberry are great.
I want raspberry.
No sugar, but also it's not like a diet soft drink where you're having all of the bad shit in it. It's literally two things: carbonated water and natural flavor, which is what's in the 365 brand that we had at Whole Foods in LA. Yes. But also that's what LaCroix is. And so I would recommend the raspberry and the lime. Mango is very good, but mango is in a smaller can. They only do the real thin little cans. And so I'm hoping they bring the mango to the bigger cans. But right now, for a pack of 10, you're paying $6.15. So What's that per unit? It was $12.30. I can tell you the literage. You're paying $1.64 per litre, but these are cans. You can also...
You're paying $2 a can.
No.
So how much are you paying? There should be a can per can. No. Or is it going per litre? Fuck that per literage. That's confusing. Because it's... So you're paying a litre, three... You're paying like 60 cents, 70 cents. Is it 60 or 70 cents a can? Because that's a bargain. So, just do the math.
Yeah. It's 61 cents or something.
Fuck, mate.
So a pack of 10... Yeah, you're paying 61 cents or whatever. That's fucking great, don't you think? So that normally it'd be like $1 something. Shit.
for people that are happy with tap water, you're making money drinking that shit.
Otherwise, and probably Coke Zero or Coke No Sugars is cheaper, but you just feel like way better drinking this shit.
You know what I bloody say. It's pisses me off that Coke's more expensive. Coke's cheaper than water, than bottled water. Yeah. Absolutely infuriating.
It's very upsetting. You can also get the... here you go. So if you wanted to be probably more environmentally friendly, you could get the Mount Franklin Lightly Sparkling Water Lime. So that lime one is currently half price too in the... 1.25 liter, and that's $1.27 for the bottle, which works out to be $1.02 per liter, versus what you're paying for the can is $1.64. But there is something very nice about the convenience of a can. I won't lie, and we do.
I feel like cans. I'd go can, aluminium can over plastic. Mm. I feel like it'd melt down. Is it more environmentally friendly?
I think that the idea of the bigger bottle is that smaller, like if you get popcorn, you get in the little packets, that's worse for you than getting a big bag of popcorn and then having your own reusable bags that you put it in.
Yeah. Look, we are the environmental show. That's why we started this why we'll always do what we do.
Yeah, definitely. Changing the world. There's my tip. The other thing is Woolworths do a Bree was just telling me on the walk, like I think it's for $19. They have a subscription which then gives you unlimited free delivery.
Fair enough.
So that's another thing.
If you don't want to go to the shop. Or just go down.
Well, the consideration is the you might find that your local doesn't have stock of certain things.
Oh, true. I haven't thought that hard about it. I usually just take what I can get at the local store.
That works.
It works. Anyway, guys, happy hump day. Cool. Hump day replay has dropped. Georgie Boy's killed it again. He's got the full Gronk squad on that show.
Yeah, Basil is there, Grace is there, Jess is there, Sevs is there, and GB is hosting. So, go check that out. Just type in Hump Day Replay. Give it a review on Apple Podcast too. Otherwise, enjoy the rest of your day, and we'll see you on Thursday. Catch ya.
See you guys.